Every time we're listening, Shkach, we're coming out. The Gemara Brachos on Lama Beis and Beis has a line that is classically found in Shurim and in Shmuzin and in Drushas and in all inspirational talks. The Gemara says, Aval pi, Shashara Tfilin in Alu, since the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the gates of Tfilah were locked. Shari Dima Loinin Alu, the gates of tears were never locked. So apparently in Shemayim there are gates, and those gates can be locked. And from the time of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the gates of Tfilah were locked, but the gates of tears were never locked. So what's the obvious kasha? Nah, better than that. What? Yeah, come on, better than that. No? Anybody here security conscious at all? No, anybody? Nah, come on. There's gates in Shemayim. The Shai Tfilah are locked. The Shari Dima is lining all. They were never locked. What? That's a good question. Ah, come on. What's the question? Come on.
It was a vort. I forgot the vort, but it has something to do with this. Is that people cry for shtuyot? No, seriously, he says
that. We'll talk about that in a bit. But what's the kasha? This is an obvious question.
Well, you were close too, but isn't this the Rosh Hashanah?
No. What? Thank you. Why are there gates? If you're never going to lock them, why do you have them?
Oh, the gates are open, but they're gates.
Why do you have gates that you're never going to lock? Yes, what's chat? But this isn't the Torah, this is Chazal. Chazal are telling you something about the relationship between davening and tears, and saying that whatever this means, the mashal that Chazal give you is that in Shemayim there are gates, and that the gates of Tefillah are in some way, shape, manner, or form not accessible to us, at least in the same way that they were accessible in the Dabla Beis HaMikdash. But Shari Dima, the gates of tears, are just as accessible as they always were. So if they're never going to be locked, why are they gates? Meaning, what does it mean that they are gates? That's true. But there's a Shari Dima that's never locked. So why'd you have it?
They say that it's compared, that 13 gates is missing for everybody.
Fine, but what's Pshat? Why do you have a gate? Hold on one second. So they asked Chaim Briska. They said, why do you have doors? I told you this once before. But they asked Chaim Briska, why do you have doors? Why do you have doors? Because he was known as Rav HaChesed. Everybody walked into Chaim Soloveitchik's home and slept in whatever bed they wanted and ate whatever food was there and took whatever they wanted. The whole house was hefka to the world. Right? He was makpid on anything. So they asked him, why do you have doors? He said, it was even chayv in the mitzvah mezuzah, according to the Rambam. So the Rambam, you're not chayv mit araisa, you're not obligated biblically to have mezuzah unless there's a door that closes. So that's the question here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not putting a mezuzah on the gates of Shemayim. Then what's pshat? Why do you have a gate there?
Because in order to get there, you have to make enough effort.
What does that mean?
It comes from the inside, to the point that you are crying.
So?
For
you're crying, good. What? Why are they gates?
Because you're
not smart. What's the point?
Decorative. That's not you.
Yeah, decorative gates in Shemayim, I don't know. I'd imagine that in Shemayim they're a little bit more, utilitarian. More conservative about their funding. They're not just going to have a decorative gate.
Why a gate and not a window?
Yeah, it's also a good shot. What? So why do you have a gate? Just have an opening. Just have a Pesach. So what's Pshat? So Reb Baruch HaMeshbosh, right? So you'll hear, Reb Moshe, this is what you were saying. Reb Baruch HaMeshbosh writes like this, he says, V'im einem ninalim ma'atzarech b'hem, if you're never going to lock them, why do you have them? He says, Ela she'im yovei ksil v'yibche, if you're going to have an idiot that's going to stand and cry and cry and cry and cry. V'lo yase tshuva, but he's not going to do anything different in his life. Sogrim lo gam sharzeh, that's when they close it. Meaning, Shari Dima, the gates of tears, are open to anybody that cries for real. For real. But you have people, by the way, he's not saying genuine versus not genuine. He's saying something sharper than that. He says there's people in the world that think that they're crying in a genuine way. They're mamish not. Right? You see this from time to time. Somebody's going to cry and cry and cry. So, mitosha lo lishma ba lishma is when you know that you're not doing lishma. You're doing for an ulterior motive. In a chanami.
So he makes a chatira tachas kisei hakavod, right, that's a different mahalach.
That's a different mahalach. But what's the point? Is that sometimes a person will cry and cry and cry, and will think that the crying is mild, that the crying does something afabichin, right? This is a famous mashal that the Dubna Magid used to say. He used to say that there was once a man that came from a small village and he goes to a big town. And the biggest danger in a big town, or even in a small village at that point in time, was a fire. Right? It's a fire. Because one fire jumps from house to house to house, the whole city goes up in flames and everything's destroyed. So they would have a big bell that they would have at the middle of the city. And they would, whenever a fire would start, they would ring the bell and everybody would drop everything that they were doing and pick up their buckets and run to go put out the fire. This guy is coming from a little village and he says, wow, what an amazing idea. What an amazing idea. This is a great way of running a city. So he goes back to his village and he tells everybody about this amazing idea. And they all chip in money and they put up the bell. And the next time that there's a fire in town, he runs out and he rings the bell. And the city burns down. So he goes, Levanti, I rang the bell. Nobody can. So he goes back to the city. He says, I don't understand. How does this work? He says, no. It's not that when you ring the bell, all of a sudden, magically, people come out of nowhere. No, people have to know and be trained and have buckets and understand that when you ring the bell, it means something. It means something. You didn't just ring a bell and they say, now I rang the bell. So that's what Rebbe Baruch was saying. That's the amkus of what Chazal is saying, that there is something called a shar dima. There's the gates of tears. And they're never locked, but they could be locked. That's the point. They're not locked. They're open. But a person that's standing there, you know, ringing, is not doing anything about it. So the gates of Dima are also locked. Stumped to cry, tears are meaningful, but tears can also be worthless. If a person is ringing, is not being moil anything, that such a person has not done anything transformative with their life. He says that's pshat. He says afal pisha shari tefillin ninalu. The gates of tefillah are locked. Right? It takes you have to be now very astute. Very careful in order to open up the gates of tefillah. By the way, what does it mean that shari tefillah aninalu?
You have to work hard in order to get them open.
It means that the Anshei Knesset Gedolah more or less came along and they said, look, you guys don't know how to do this yourself, so we'll give you a text. I have this with my high school students all the time. They said to me, Rebbe, how come we don't get to like daven our own words? How come we have to read the words from the Siddur? Didn't it used to be the Rambam says that everybody used to say Shevach and Bakashan and Edo all by themselves? So I said to a kid a little while ago, I said, fine, do it for a week. Tell me how it goes. Do it for a week. Davin Midarais according to the Rambam is very hard. Very, very hard to come up with your own tefillah every single day. Something that shayach to your life, that praises Hashem in an appropriate way, that thanks Hashem in an appropriate way. In a way that doesn't seem like it's by rote, in a way that like deeply connects to the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's very hard to do. There used to be a time that a person would daven and would mamish daven, right? Like that's the Gemara in Brachos, like learns that from Tfilas Chana. She was davening to Hashem in a real way. That was a davening, like a real davening. People would come up with tefillas. They would David HaMelech, the whole of Sefer Tehillim is David HaMelech's tefillas. He wrote davening. For himself, that made sense to him. We don't know how to do this. This is Shara Tefillah Ninol. We're not so good at this. The Anshei Knesset Gedolah came along and they said, here's a pick. Here's how you get in. Shari dim alone in Allah. A person wants to come, open their heart and pray to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So that option is always open to them, so long as they're not just ringing a bell and then assuming that something is going to happen. Where's the thing that's going to happen? It's going to happen to them. A person has to make changes in their life, and that's how something will work. Hashem, we should be zeichet to both tefillah and dima in real ways. Somebody saying kaddish to Rabbanan? Yeah. Okay.